In.
Just looking up at my mom, looking at all of her beauty, and I said to her, "Mom, you're starting to get gray hair." My mom thought for a few minutes, and she looked back at me and said, I think she was trying to be smart. She said, "You know, Ivan, every time you get in trouble, I get another gray hair." I said, "Well, that's interesting, because Grandma has a lot of gray hair." I'm just saying, you never know. Well, it's good to be together this morning and celebrating Mother's Day together. But today we're going to talk a little bit about fear. And I entitled our message today, "Fear, I'm Afraid Not." Because when we think about fear, a lot of things come to our minds. You know, spiders, snakes, right? Lizards. You know, Jason Savoy was telling, he took pictures. Jason, you know, lives out in no man's land in Acton. And they had like a 20-foot garter snake that came into their, okay, maybe it wasn't 20, but it was a big old snake. Gopher snake that came into his yard, and he showed me that, and I'm like, man, if that was in my yard, it would be dead, dead, dead. But he keeps them alive so they get the rats. But we're afraid of things, right? I want to tell you a story about my life. A story that impacted me a lot when I was a young man and struck fear into the heart of me. Right? And I call this story "The Shooting at Pigeon Ridge." Now, what happened is up in Azusa, California, and kind of above LA there, there's a place where you can go shooting. And it's just an open area that you can go shooting. I'm not saying it's a safe place to go shooting. I'm just saying it's a place you're allowed to go shooting. And so my friend said, "Hey, you want to go shooting?" I said, "Yeah, why not? I've never been shooting before, so let's go shooting." So we went up there, and they all brought all their guns up and all their ammunition and, you know, surveillance stuff and all this. I mean, they had it all, right? And so we went up there, and they brought all their targets. They brought all these stuffed animals they were going to shoot. And we shot. We were shooting for a long time. And it was awesome. We were having a great time, and the sun started to go down. So we're like, we need to get back. And as we started to walk back, we noticed that there was a group of guys over there. They didn't look like they were sober, but they had guns. So I'm not sure if they were sober or not, but they did have guns. So being the 18, 19, 20-year-old guys that we were, we loaded up. Because that's what you do when you're 18 or 19. Now, when you're 40, you just run, right? Because you're like, it ain't worth it. See, that's why they don't draft 40-year-olds into the Marines or anything. You know, they don't want us joining because they're going to say, "Charge that hill," and we're going to go, "Yeah, we can go around it, you know." But when you're 18, 19 years old, you're going to load your gun because if they're going to fire, I'm going to fire. Well, they didn't fire. And we walked down the hill. And just as we got to the bottom of this hill, darkness came over all the land because it was dusk. And so it was dark. And right as we get to the bottom of the hill, all of a sudden, we were flooded with these lights and a voice that sounded like God said, "LA County Sheriffs, drop your weapons and get your bellies on the ground." So we complied. And we put our weapons down, and we were laying face down, and they walked up. And see, they had got a report of some guys drinking and shooting up on Pigeon Ridge. Well, they figured quickly that it wasn't us, and they asked us why our guns were loaded, and we told them because there's guys up there that are drinking and shooting, and they began to explain to us how stupid we were for thinking that we could get into a firefight with somebody and walk away from it. So they said, "Okay, well, let's walk back over here behind the vehicle and let's get our guns unloaded, stuff like that. So we were walking back, and right as we were walking back, we heard a rowdy group of men start coming down the hill. And they said, "All right, guys, get behind the trucks." So we got behind their big Bronco LA County Sheriff vehicle. And they said, "While you're back here, unload your weapons and we'll take care of the situation." So again, these guys got to the bottom of the hill. Lights went on. LA County Sheriff, drop your weapons and get on your bellies. The interesting thing is, there was a friend, Dan, that was with us. And he had a rifle that he had gotten back from the gunsmith that week. And there was a problem with this rifle. So right when they said, "LA County Sheriffs, get on your bellies," his rifle fired a round at the exact same time. Now, I'd like to tell you that I was a brave man, and that I gathered my men, and we huddled behind there with our guns drawn, ready to take on anybody. That is really hard to do when you're underneath a vehicle hugging the axle like I was. I was scared. Very scared. You know how they say that when you get so scared you can loose your bowels? You know how they say that? I believe that. I believe that. Well, fortunately, the sheriffs, they kept their calm, and those other guys were scared to death. They were on the ground, and they had their hands over their heads. They were pushing their heads into the ground, and they were scared too. And all I hear is the sheriff say, "Who fired off that round?" And it got real quiet. My friend Dan said, "I did." We got it all cleared up, and fortunately, no one died. But that is my story, called the shooting at Pigeon Ridge. And it's a funny thing, because it strikes fear. Just thinking about that story, it brings back how scared I was, because I knew at any moment, there could have been a catastrophe that could have happened. You know? And I realize, too, sometimes that's how I live my life. Sometimes I think that's how life is. Like, at any moment, something crazy can happen, and I can be so taken out. You know, I could lose my legs, or I could lose my job, or I could lose my family, or, you know, when my wife doesn't come home and on time, and she doesn't call me, I'm like, "Hey, where are you? What are you doing? Are you okay?" And my mind starts getting crazy, you know, and I start thinking of all these weird things that can happen. And, you know, I get fearful and I get scared, you know. But it's interesting, because fear can be paralyzing, but the right kind of fear can actually relieve you of being paralyzed. Now, we're going to read a story about Martha and Mary. Many of you know the story. It's found in Luke 10. Martha and Mary are sisters. Their brother is Lazarus. The scriptures record three times where Jesus came and spent time with them. This particular story is a time where Jesus had came to their house, and he was just being with them. And in verse 38 of Luke 10, it reads, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Martha, Martha." It kind of reminds me of the "Martha, Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." It's an interesting thing here as we see how Jesus comes to this situation, and he sees Martha and Mary, and Mary is at his feet, and Mary is being there with Jesus, just being in the presence of Jesus. And Martha is running around, and she's getting, you know, doing this and doing that, and I've got to take care of this, and I got to take care of that, and I got to take care of this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to take care of this, and I got to get it all, and everything's got to be, you know, just right, and she gets all frantic, right? And a lot of you men may be saying, yeah, that's how my wife is. But it's really how we all can be, right? I heard this one song, and I'm not going to do it justice, but it was a funny song, right? And it reminded me of my commute when I went down below. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not. But the song starts off real soft, and the guy's singing, and he says, I woke up this morning, and I got myself some coffee. Sat down and read the newspaper. I got in my car, turned on the heat, backed out of my driveway, and drove to the freeway. And then... get out of my way! 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 Has anybody ever experienced that on the 14? Just let me know. Let me know if you've experienced that on the 14. It is crazy! You know, and that's what it feels like. I have a great quiet time and get on to, ease on to the 14 and... and people are, you're just zooming back and forth, and people, for whatever reason, got to get right in front of you because they got somewhere to be, and you're like, I got somewhere to be. How dare you take that 13 feet of mine, and you want to get around them, and you're so angry and so mad and so frustrated, and that's how we live our lives. Sometimes we're so incredibly frantic about life, you know? What gets you frantic? What gets you upset? What boils your blood? Where you're just so upset you can't overcome it. You're just like angry, you know. Have you ever been so angry that you just can't control yourself? You're just angry. You're that angry, and that's usually when you need to shut up. Right? Because you're going to say something. Let me tell you something. A bell can't be unrung, right? So you got to be real careful about what you say when you're in that point. And what we see here is we see Mary and Martha. And they're sitting down together. Well, Mary and Jesus are sitting down. Martha's running around doing everything. And what's the first thing that we do when we're really not sitting at Jesus' feet? Sometimes we start to blame God for the way our life is. We look at our life and we start to put it in our own perspective. Jesus, no one is helping me. I am all alone in this world. No one will help me. I got to do it all by myself. Is there really a God when life is this hard? And we start blaming God. We start blaming other people. It's Mary's fault. If Mary would just help, if my husband would just help me, if he would just take out the trash. Anyone have the trash fight in here? You know what I'm talking about? I talk to couples about this all the time. There is something about the kitchen trash can. There's something, and Satan has us twisted around that kitchen trash can, I'm telling you. Right? Because wives don't take out the trash. Husbands take out the trash. So wives will take out the trash out of the bag, or out of the container, and then they'll set it right next to the container, but they won't take it to the trash can. You know, want to know why? Because it's not their job. It's my husband's job, and he's got to take out the trash. It is so hilarious. So just encouragement to all the men here, take out the trash. Make your life a lot easier, I'm telling you. Just take it out. And I know you don't really see it as being full, because you could push that thing down another 3-4 inches, right? Just take it out. You will have peace in your house that you've never known. It'll transcend understanding. But what happens is, in our life is, we tend to separate ourselves away from God. We tend to walk away from God. To think that a relationship with God is not as important. And we do that a lot here in America.
Because we're not really desperate, a lot of us aren't in desperate need of things. Life may be hard as we see it, but it's not third world hard. You know, I love it when I talk to Lorenzo because he puts things in perspective for me. He told me he went back home to El Salvador, and he has two parts of his family, an extremely poor part of his family and a very rich part of his family. And he says whenever he goes to the poor part of the family, everybody is always talking about God. And when he goes to the very rich part of his family, no one talks about God. You don't want to know why? It's poor people know they're desperate. And they know they need God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Bible says. Randy Harris said, one of the reasons I think we struggle with prayer so much is we think we need it so little. We are not desperate people. Randy Harris wrote this book called Soul Work, and basically what he did is he went and lived with monks for a few months and just prayed and prayed and prayed with them. And he said, you know, the hardest part about it was dealing, after you get past the monotony of just doing nothing, right? No TV, no distractions, nothing around you at all. Once you get past the tediousness and the monotony of that, the most difficult thing is dealing with you and seeing your own pain and seeing who you really are. And you know, when we stand before God, we really do see who we are. We really do see what God calls us to be. But so sometimes when we step away from God, right, we start to compare ourselves to other people and not to God. And we try to make our relationship with God like he's my buddy, he's my pal. Jesus is my co-pilot. Jesus is my homeboy. Right? So what happens? What's wrong with that? Does Jesus want us to be close to him? Absolutely. But in our minds, we have to understand that Jesus is Lord. And in that, I can rest. And Mary was making the decision to say, I'm going to sit here with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to embrace this time. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be filled. And Martha was frantically running around, like so many of us, missing the point. You know, when we truly fear God, we fear nothing else. Now think about that for a minute. When you truly fear God, you fear nothing else. What do you fear the most in your life? Failure? Loss? Do you fear grief? A lot of people fear grief. They don't want to grieve. They live their lives running around worried about what's happening with their children and with their spouse and with everything that's going on in life, and they're worried. They feel grief. They don't want to experience sorrow and sadness. People run around fearing these things. But when you learn to truly fear God, we fear nothing else. And Jesus told Martha, look, you're worried about all these things. Right? You're worried about everything that's going on in life. Mary didn't seem to be worried about anything. You know why? Because when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Are you fearful of death? I welcome death. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't want to go right now, but, you know, at some point, I welcome death. But I don't fear it. I don't walk around in fear. It's interesting because there's this preacher, Francis Chan, and he tells the story of his life, and he's got a pretty rough story.
And he actually sold a book, and he made lots of money off of it. And he took all the proceeds and he gave it to the poor. And then he went to India. Right? And he's a preacher, so, you know, for those of you who don't know, most preachers don't make that much money. But he went to India, and he came back, and he saw the poverty in India. And he told his wife, "Honey, we need to sell our house and give the money to the poor." And I thought that was amazing that he did that. I thought it was even more amazing that his wife handled it very well, you know. So they sold the house, and they moved into a mobile home, right? And then people in his congregation came up to him and started saying stuff like, "Bro, I think you're making a big mistake. I think you're making a big mistake because you're not preparing for the future." He goes, "What?" They go, "What if there's an emergency?" He goes, "You don't think the people starving are an emergency?" They said, he said, "Well, what about, you know," they said, "what about, you know, your future and the things?" And he goes, "I live in America. You think I'm going to starve to death living in America? I'm not going to starve to death living in America." But then he said something that I love. He goes, "What if I do? What if I starve to death because I gave up everything for God? And I'm standing there in line to meet God. And he said, what did you die of?" And he says, "I gave up everything." Wouldn't you want to be that guy? You definitely don't want to be behind him. I would say that. Right? Imagine the amount of fear that you'd have to overcome to get to that place in your faith where you're willing to give up everything for God, where you're willing to let God be in control of your life. The scripture says then and only then will you truly have peace. Peace that transcends understanding. You see, when we trust God, when we fear God, when we have that reverence of God, when we understand that He is holy and we are only made holy through His blood, when we have that understanding, when we truly fear God, we will fear nothing else. Ecclesiastes says, now that all, you got to understand, let me, before I read this, if you don't understand who Solomon was and what he did and what he had, you got to go back and read it, but I'll give you a brief description. He makes Bill Gates look poor, right? He makes Bill Gates look like he needs to be in a soup line. Solomon had more riches. He had more slaves and more harems and more things that all the world wants. You know, he had all of that. And then he had everything that men want to cultivate and create. He built parks and he built all this other stuff. And then he had everything. And then he had a relationship with God. He had everything. Everything your heart desires, this man probably had or could buy. He had it. Right? And at the end of his life, he writes, "Now that all has been heard," in other words, you know my whole life, you know how much I've had, and I've had everything, "here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What do you fear? What has your fears brought to your life? We need to live our lives in a way that we fear the only God. Fear God and fear nothing else. If you do this, what would your life look like? Think about the peace that would be going on. It'd be like walking through that, you see that opening scene of Saving Private Ryan where all the bombs are going off and people are ducking and you just walk through. "I'm good. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Hey, buddy, how you doing? And bullets are whizzing by. You're like, hey. You have absolutely no fear. Because that's sometimes what life is like. Things are being shot at us left and right, you know. Sometimes I'll get a text message or I'll get a phone call. Bro, I'm really struggling with this or with that. And my stomach will knot up. Right? Because I'm like, oh man, I'm afraid. How is this going to go down? I'm going to have to go. I got to talk to them. I hope they do well. I don't want them to struggle spiritually. I don't want, you know, and I get all worried. And then I'll be like, stop it. Don't worry about it. God's in control, Ivan. Stop worrying about it. I look at my kids and I'm like, man, they're being raised by me. They're going to be messed up. They're going to have this problem and this problem and this problem. I know they are. Stop it. God's in control. You do what you can do, but you trust God. Have that reverence, that fear of God, where you sit down with God and you just allow God to take control of your heart. And then that pit in your stomach goes away. The vibration that you feel when you're afraid goes away. That settledness comes over you. And you're like, everything's good. Because God is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I will fear nothing else. Brothers and sisters, let's fear God and fear nothing else. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.